Whether you're a knowledge worker or someone who leads them, you need the proper skills. Leadership, communication, teamwork, emotional intelligence, strategy, and tactics. This is the place to learn them. My name is Jose, and I'm a product manager and coach with 15 years of experience in the software industry. Visit josemoda.net to get your free coaching call or email me at podcast@josemoda.net. Back to the show. Let me tell you the story of two chefs in the same kitchen. One is making duck à l'orange, the other is making orange cake. There's only one orange though. By the time they need it, they argue for who deserves it more. There are two options: win-lose or win-win. Win-lose is simple to understand. One takes the orange and the other one can't finish their dish. Win-win is when you find the reasons behind using the orange before making a decision. The two chefs ask why they need the orange. One says they need the juice. The other one says they need the zest. They found that they need different parts of the orange, and both can finish their dish. Everyone's happy. Knowing the reasons why certain people take certain positions breaks barriers of potential conflict and increases the quality of collaboration, from coworkers and teams to the tougher stakeholders like customers, clients, and directors. Let's explore the topic in three segments. What is conflict? Its five levels, how to resolve it, and some practical examples. Let's start by defining conflict. What is conflict? It is when two or more people, or groups, disagree from opposing or incompatible points of view. It is a natural and inevitable part of human interaction, and can manifest in various forms, including differences in opinions, goals, needs, or beliefs. Society is just the way it is. Each one has their unique opinions and beliefs, and conflicts are resolved in a way that is organic and solves everyone's problems to the best of our ability. Conflicts may arise from misunderstandings, competition, power struggles, or other sources of tension. They can occur in relationships, workplaces, communities, and on a global scale too. Conflict is not inherently negative. It becomes problematic when it is not effectively managed or resolved, leading to negative consequences such as damaged relationships, decreased productivity, or even escalation to more severe forms of discord. When global conflict is not resolved, then there's the potential for war or for something close to that. Conflicts are resolved most of the time, and it involves understanding their root causes, promoting open communication, and seeking mutually beneficial solutions. Addressing conflicts in a constructive manner can lead to growth, improved relationships, and positive change. I often refer to positions and interests. Those who know me closely know that I use this expression a lot. And that is the topic of today's episode, at least it was the original one. I started with this idea of positions and interests. Ultimately, it's all about resolving conflicts productively. Those I refer to are often surprised by the impact of merely shedding light of what most fail to realize, that every position has an interest behind it, and therefore it is our responsibility to explore those interests rather than just battling the positions alone. That to me is the number one step to resolving conflicts constructively. The first time that I've learned about the five stages of conflict was from the book Coaching Agile Teams by Lisa Atkins. When agile teams in specific in her book deal with conflict, sometimes it is important to understand what that level of conflict is. Of course, that all teams face different levels of conflict, and now we're going to explore the five different levels. The number one stage is the easiest one, or the simplest one. It is just a mere problem to solve. If it can be properly addressed without huge levels of disagreement, then that's level one. This is typically the most frequent, and of course, there are others. Each different level of conflict requires a different level of mediation or facilitation. Number one is usually dealt with rather quickly and rather amicably. Stage number two is disagreement. It's still a problem to solve, and it's clearly harder to do it, to solve it. It might require some outside mediation. To give you a specific example, let's say that two people are working on a problem, or rather a solution to the problem, and they have different options to solve it. One holds a position, one offers a different position. When they disagree and they accept that it must be dealt with outside help, they do so. They reach out for, let's say, their team leader, their manager, or an official mediator. Step number three is a little bit trickier. It's usually called a contest. The reason for it is that not only is there a disagreement, two strict positions, it also involves the emotional self. People start to get a little bit heated, and it biases both parties' judgment. Usually at this stage, people start to lose trust in each other, and the sooner this can be dealt with, the better. Mediation is usually required for this sort of conflict, and the sooner it is dealt with, the less trust is challenged. Now, step number four, this is a really, hopefully, rare occasion. People often call it the crusade, and this is very interesting because it refers to this idea that people start to gather crowds around them to support their position. When you start to involve other people outside of the direct conflict, that's when level four manifests itself. Each party starts to gather others along to their cause, and this results in a wider scale of conflict, and this is definitely something that should be avoided. Number five is either chaos or world war kind of scenario. It is really a severe level of conflict, and what characterizes this level of conflict is the notion of irreversibility. When a conflict is this big, it usually leads to severe transformation, irreversible transformation, and it usually happens either at a bigger scale or even at global scale. So conflicts don't just exist at the workplace or at the relationship level. It really can mean something to the point of people stepping away from each other, severing working relationships, or even war. As I was saying before, most of the time, conflicts stay at level one, at most level two. The other three still exist, and they require mediation, and they are less frequent. It's good news. It means that there is enough psychological safety, and coworkers trust each other, specifically talking about the workplace. Levels two and above are where clarifying the interests behind certain positions becomes crucial. Now, to solve these conflicts, there's a model that Thomas and Kilman came up with. I'll leave a link in the description of this podcast for you to understand what the conflict model is and how they relate to each other if there is any relationship. Now, the key point is that there are two axes. One of them is assertiveness, the extent to which you satisfy your own positions or your own concerns, and then cooperativeness, the extent to which you attempt to satisfy the other party's concerns or interests. So it's you versus them, or you and them. When you combine the two, you get five different models. Let's start with the first one. Collaborating is when you satisfy your own interests and the other person's concerns. This is usually the quote-unquote best solution because you satisfy everyone's interests. It's a win-win situation. It happens when you must get buy-in from every other person to get a successful result. It happens when you bring a variety of views to light on an important issue, and when you seek consensus too. This way, you attempt to meet both your interests and their interests. Again, think of win-win. Then you get the competition model, which is where you have your own interests served, and you almost disregard, this is a really hard word here, but when the other person's interests are not taken care of, as well as your own. And it makes sense, right? When you compete, you want to win over the competition. This happens when there's an emergency crisis to resolve and there's a potential fire to put out. There's an unpopular decision to make and you must make it. And this is a perfect situation that illustrates when something actually needs to be done. You have the authoritative power to make a decision and it doesn't please everybody. The third one is called accommodate. Accommodate is when you don't serve your own interests and you serve other people's interests. So it's more like lose-win if you think about the combination of the two. But then again, this is questionable because when you accommodate, you are happy by serving the other person in lieu of your own interests. Make sense? So it's an acquiescence sort of scenario. Usually when people are fearful of conflict and want to maintain the relationship, that's their win condition or our win condition, we accommodate to the other person's interests. An important note before I go on with the other two. None of these are good or bad by comparison. They're just different, and they are suitable for different scenarios. Competition is important to understand when you're trying to make your product better than the others, because you want to be profitable. If you're a business, you have to compete. Your interests are more important than your competition's. Make sense? So competing is healthy. Collaboration is also good when there's both parties involved. Accommodation can be helpful if your interests are not as important, quote unquote, as the other person. Maybe your win condition is just to keep a relationship, to give in a little bit at this time, to maybe have some leverage in the future. Ask yourself what kind of scenarios you can think of for each different resolution model. All right, let's move on. Number four is avoid. So avoid is peculiar because if you think about the axes of assertiveness and cooperativeness, it's a lose-lose kind of situation. You don't serve your own interests and you don't serve the other parties either. You avoid the conflict altogether. You don't address the conflict. So no one wins out of a discussion there. Usually this level of resolution is a little bit less desirable because you're not really dealing with a problem. You either give up or there's no interest in dealing with that conflict. Maybe the conflict is not that important and you would rather spend your time and energy on something else. So avoiding can be a solution until it stops being a solution altogether. At one point, you might have to deal with that and a different model might come up or might be justified. The fifth and the middle of the pack there is the compromise resolution model. It's when neither gets their way 100%. It's a 50-50. You get some, you lose some sort of scenario. This kind of resolution model is interesting when not everyone can just go all in on their interests or meet their interests 100%. You find the ones that you can agree with and the ones that you cannot, then you just agree to not address them altogether. So you just go halfway. You go halfway, the other person goes halfway back towards you, and that's a good level of resolution at that moment in time. The reason why I'm sharing these different resolution models is because you might be facing a situation where you have to employ one model And there are other situations with different people, different levels of authority that require a different model. If you're a coworker and you're dealing with a decision by your manager, you might either try to collaborate, compromise, or accommodate. Avoiding can be avoided altogether, passing the redundancy there. You'll hardly want to compete against your manager. I'm supposing that you won't want to do it. You will want to hopefully collaborate to meet a solution that meets your interests and their interests. Maybe you just want to accommodate. There's no reason for you to say anything challenging to that decision from your manager, and you'll just acquiesce. You want to maintain that relationship, you want to maintain that trust, and you feel like there's no point in going into a conflicting standing. Or you may just want to compromise. Maybe the situation requires a compromise. You ask them, hey, this position is not really in my favor. Can we reach a compromise? Compromises are really much more frequent when both parties are at the same level. Let's say a partnership between two different companies. They present their terms, and each one gives just a little bit. They negotiate, and they see what can happen. This is very typical in stakeholder management. A product manager is working on their roadmap, on their vision. Stakeholders come to them and say, I have this demand, or I have this strong interest. I want this position to be taken, and maybe there's a negotiation there. Maybe we can go halfway, and they can concede on some of their own points. This is a valid, frequent situation for managers. So to each different situation, a different kind of resolution model. Another couple of practical examples are when, let's say, a manager decides on the tools for the team to use. When someone employs a tool and we say, I wasn't really expecting this tool to be used, I would rather use something else, explaining or actually asking for the interests behind taking that position on specific tooling can help find problems that those tools solve and hopefully find alternatives that align with the team's expectations. Remember, usually management has an authoritative position. They have the grounds for making such decisions, and finding why those decisions were made in the first place can lead to a collaborative approach. And if anything else, we just acquiesce and we say, well, we tried to explain why that's a less than ideal thing. And we can then expose the implications or the impacts of that choice being made. At least we are being transparent. At least we are bringing the issues onto the table. And then at the end, if something has to happen, it does happen, and the manager is fully informed. One final example, let's say that a company leader employs a hard policy in the company on the number of days at the office. It's 2023 and many companies are choosing a hybrid model, and they are choosing that X number of days, let's say 2 or 3, you should be at the office. And you don't really agree with that. Without consulting the whole company, it is very easy for decisions like these to backfire and shoot down collaborators' morale. I, for instance, have been working remotely for 12 years. I've never seen a reason for me to go back to the office. I'm much more productive wherever I choose to work instead of going to the office. It's just me, right? It's my stance. It's my preference. I would much rather enjoy the quiet of my home than all the phones ringing at the office and the chitter-chatter that often happens at the workplace. Asking for the real reasons behind the policy help everyone understand the root of the problem and address an alleged lack of performance, possibly avoiding such a fixated solution. If a company leader is employing this policy, it better be really well informed and collaborators are actually given a chance to speak about the issue. there are reasons why today there's been many layoffs or people actually stepping away from the company because of these policies. The company loses value by letting go of these people just because the company chooses to force people back into the office. Let's summarize today's episode. Conflict is a natural thing for society. It happens and it must be dealt with. The more productively, the better. There are 5 levels of conflict, from the lowest, most simple to solve way to irreversible conflict. Each one requires different levels of resolution, different people to intervene, and different levels of psychological safety. The more psychological safety there is at the workplace or in the family or at the global scale, the better. So this is maybe a call to improve psychological safety, which in turn yields better performance for teams. And finally, there are 5 resolutions model according to Thomas and Kilman. Collaboration, which is a win-win situation. You serve your interests and their interests. Competition, where you serve your own interests almost regardless of the other person's interests. Accommodation, where you are happy by giving away your own interests in favor of theirs and therefore wanting to satisfy different levels of return on that conflict resolution. There's avoidance, where you just don't serve anyone's interests. You either delay or just forget, give up. And then there's the middle of the pack, the 50-50 solution. It's the compromise model. Before we leave today, ask yourself a couple questions. Number 1, what kind of conflicts do you have every day or every week at work or at home or somewhere else? And number 2, how are you dealing with those conflicts? Do you see yourself accommodating too much? Do you see yourself competing too much? I always post these episodes on LinkedIn, so feel free to reach out and offer your own perspective. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen from. Do you have a question for me to cover? Send it over to podcast@josemoda.net and I'll answer it. Make it a great one.